Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists have Christian roots, but our tradition has no creed, no set of beliefs that must be held by all of us. That has allowed us, encouraged many of us, to move beyond Christianity. Indeed, Unitarianism is a haven for many. It is a religious community where you are supported in your quest to understand your own spiritual journey and articulate your own beliefs. As a result, many of us are uncomfortable with the traditional Christian holidays, especially Christmas and Easter. How do these Christian holidays apply to us if we don't believe in the Christian way of thinking? One response is to celebrate our religious community itself. Beacon holds a flower ceremony just about every year. Many of you know that it is a ritual to celebrate our diverse and inclusive kind of community. Some of you will know that it was begun by Norbert Čapek of Prague, Czechoslovakia. I want to say more about his story today, and especially what challenge his ideas, his flower ceremony, presents for us today. Norbert Čapek was a remarkable man, a minister, a missionary, a writer, a composer of hymns. The song Mother Spirit, Father Spirit is just one of them. He was a heretic, a rebel, and lived in a politically dangerous life at a difficult time. Čapek was born in 1870 in Bohemia, then a part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. His family was too poor to give him an education, so they sent him to live with and work for his uncle Herb Victor, a successful tailor in Vienna. Norbert was expected to work his way through university as an apprentice tailor. Like everyone else, Čapek was raised as a Roman Catholic, the state-supported religion. When at the age of 18 he rebelled and became a Baptist, his uncle promptly booted him out of the house. It was the Baptists who took him in and put him through seminary. Čapek served Baptist congregations in Saxony and Moravia and was very successful there. But a colleague somewhere along the way suggested that Čapek sounded like a Unitarian. And so he wrote to the American Unitarian Association in Boston, asking them to support his efforts in promoting liberal religion in Eastern Europe. But at the time, the American Unitarian Association didn't see much value in international ties and ignored his request. Čapek was a writer, and in his writings he supported independence for Czechoslovakia from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The government wasn't keen on this. Even his religious writings were considered subversive, and the police raided his home more than once. Warned in 1914 that he was in danger of immediate arrest by the Austrian authorities as an enemy of the state, Čapek moved to the United States, where for the next 3 years, he was pastor of the First Slovak Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey. Throughout World War I and during his time in the U.S., Čapek was active in the movement for Czechoslovak independence. At the end of World War I, Czechoslovakia did become independent, and many Czechs decided to leave the Roman Catholic Church. Čapek was eager to return to his native land and play a part in its spiritual reawakening. So in 1920, he and his wife, Maya, sold their home to fund their voyage. But because of a delay in payment, they had to rent an apartment in a nearby town. While living there, they encouraged their school-aged children to go to Sunday school and then tell them what lessons they'd learned. Report back. Well, they found one that pleased them, the First Unitarian Church of Essex County. After the children had attended several times, Norbert and Maya also visited the church and found there, quote, not only clear heads, but warm hearts, too. They signed the membership book on January 10th, 1921. When the minister learned of their intent to return to Czechoslovakia, he arranged for him to meet the president of the American Unitarian Association, Dr. Samuel Elliott. By May, Čapek had a commitment from the AUA to support his work in Czechoslovakia. My knowledge of the way the UUA board works, that's amazing. By February 1922, the Chopeks, working as a team, had organized the Prague Congregation of Liberal Religious Fellowship. Almost immediately, the services were drawing standing room only crowds. The Sunday sermon, the highlight of the service, was repeated and debated in popular Tuesday evening programs. With financial help from the AUA and the British and Foreign Unitarian Association, they bought and renovated a medieval palace to hold the growing congregation and its offices. And they still have that. In 1926, Maya was ordained as a Unitarian minister in her own right. The first flower festival was celebrated in June 1923 in Prague. This was Chopek's response to their religious community. This ritual is now celebrated by Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist congregations the world round. The Chopeks wanted to add an interactive ritual to the services, which, by the choice of the members, were very simple and had no ritual. No singing, no prayers, no collection plate. Members paid as they entered each Sunday. The congregation found a lot of meaning in the Flower Festival service. It became their tradition. In 1939, Maya Chopek left for the United States for what was supposed to be a brief lecture tour. She brought the Flower Festival service with her, and it was celebrated for the first time in the U.S. at the First Unitarian Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in 1940. Tragically, the Nazis took over Czechoslovakia while Maya was on tour, preventing her from returning home. As soon as the Nazi army took control, Chopek became a marked man. He was interrogated by the Gestapo, whose spies listened to every word he preached. For a time, he hid his message of freedom in biblical stories. Where have we heard that before? And religious symbolism. And for a while, it worked. Then on March 28, 1941, Chopek and his youngest daughter, Zora, were arrested by the Gestapo. They were convicted of listening to foreign radio broadcasts, a treasonous offense. They were first incarcerated at Dresden in Germany, and then Chopek was sent to the concentration camp at Dachau. While at Dachau, it was said that he kept up the spirits of the other prisoners with his humor and his cheerful spirit. But on October 12, 1942, he was killed with either poison gas or a lethal injection. Maya Chopek didn't learn of her husband's death until after the war. Leadership of the Prague Church passed to their daughter and son-in-law, both ordained Unitarian ministers. Maya, still in the U.S., joined the staff of the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Agency to work with the victims of war, and she died in 1966. Just before his death in prison, Norbert Chopek wrote in his last letter to his wife, "There is so much I have wanted to make up for you, up to you for, and to give to you and the children and my nearest and dearest. But I believe that even so, you will all be blessed. I am faithful to my best and highest hope, resolve, and belief, wishing everyone well, believing in the future good of all of you, the family, the nation, humanity, and especially those most sorely tried." Chopek was a spiritual seeker, moving from the Catholicism of his birth to the Baptist faith and then on to Unitarianism. He yearned for religious integrity, for political integrity, for democracy. He actively worked for each of these. He was a community builder, and his community was torn apart by strife within and war without. Chopek's legacy for us is the flower ceremony or flower festival. He saw the bouquet of flowers, all those assorted flowers, as a representation of the collective beauty of a church community. Each flower, each person, is beautiful in their own right. When you collect them together within the structure of the vase, our congregation, even more beauty results. Chopek's congregation was built in response to an oppressive Catholic church. They wanted, they needed religious freedom. Freedom from dogma is very much a part of our Unitarian set of values. We affirm the acceptance of one another and the encouragement to spiritual growth. We affirm the acceptance of one another as we are in all our theologies. We are indeed a multifloral, multi-theological congregation and denomination. We came out of a Christian background. Then for a very long time, we had a strong humanist mainstream. No longer do we have that core. One of my predecessors at Beacon here, Brian Kiley, has likened us to a donut. No center, but a collection of beliefs around what was a center. So, we are Buddhists and pagans, humanists and atheists, Christians and universalists. Many of us would use only the label Unitarian, knowing that is an inclusive term. Our challenge, then, is to value each other, acknowledge the beauty of each of us. If I am humanist, I can use the word God sometimes. If I am Christian, I can mentally add God references when I need them. All of us need to learn to interpret, to translate into our own language. Each of us, like each of the blooms, has our individual beauty. And each of us is free to follow our own brand of spirituality, our own path. When we are at our best, we do not try to impose our own brand onto others. Yes, it is okay to skip some words as we sing if you don't want to sing them. But don't ask me not to sing it. Yes, it is okay to choose the words sometimes, to request a song sometimes. It is not okay, though, to say, we don't say that here. We are not here to enslave others to our brand of spirituality. Instead, we strive to listen to each other with respect. We listen to each other's stories, each other's ideas, and in doing so, we articulate better our own spiritual truth. Each of us is free to be our best and our most integral self. We are here to add our own particular beauty to the larger whole. The power and inspiration of our diversity is expressed most clearly in the beauty of the flowers. Each has its own time, its own place, from the dainty delicateness of the lily of the valley to the flashy extravagance of a peony, to the poised elegance of a rose. Unitarian Universalist Lisa Friedman writes in her blog, Dr. Chapak understood that it is not enough to honor our individual and beauty and uniqueness alone, but that we must see in our own selves the reflection of that universal beauty and dignity that we share. I have sometimes wondered, Lisa says, in the over 30 years that I have celebrated the Flower Communion each spring, why the Flower Communion was not simply a flower exchange. After all, if we are honoring each other's unique expression of humanity, then why not have a moment in the service where we turn to each other and offer the blooming gifts we have brought? But in recent years, I have come to value the importance of this time in the ceremony when the flowers stand together in their vases in the front of the sanctuary. Here, together, we can witness their collective power and beauty, and we can remember the necessity of friendship and community in keeping our humanity diverse and vibrant. So let us now take note of those vases of beauty, all those different kinds of flowers, and appreciate them for all that they are, individually and at the moment together. I'm going to now ask Susan and Jeremy to pass the vases so that you can select a flower. We'll do it before we sing. I decided it's easier. So select a flower from the vase that is different from the one you brought. As you take your chosen flower, note its particular shape, its particular beauty. It is a gift that someone has brought to you. It represents that person's unique humanity and therefore deserves your kindest touch. Let us share joyfully in this Unitarian ritual of oneness and love and respect. Let us bless these flowers, these messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts, to be one in desire and affection and devotion to the best intentions within us. May they remind us of the value of fellowship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of the most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do the work of the world. Amen. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in and among us now and always. Go in peace.